of Lutsay. I will talk to you shortly. Beckett! The chief acolyte, spurred on by a blow across the ear with a rubber monkey, hurried away. The press of monks began to thin out as they went about their duties. Lutsay and Lobsang were left on the balcony, looking down at the rippling mandala. Lutsay cleared his throat.
"See them spinners at the end?" he said. "The little one records the patterns for a day, and then anything interesting is stored in the big ones."
"I just premembered that you were going to say that."
"Good word, good word. The lad has talent."
Lutsay lowered his voice.
"Anyone watching us?"
Lobsang looked round. "There's a few people still here." Lutsay raised his voice again.
"You been taught anything about the big crash?"
"Only rumours, sweeper."
"Yeah, there were a lot of rumours. The day time stood still, all that sort of thing."
Lutsay sighed.
"You know, most of what you get taught is lies. It has to be. Sometimes, if you get the truth all at once, you can't understand it. You knew Ankh-Morpork pretty well, did you? Ever go to the opera house?"
"Only for pickpocket practice, sweeper."
"Ever wonder about it? Ever look at that little theatre just over the road called the Disc, I think?"
"Oh, yes, we got penny tickets and sat on the ground and threw nuts at the stage."
"And it didn't make you think? Big opera house, all plush and gilt and big orchestras, and then there's this little thatch theatre, all bare wood and no seats, and one bloke playing a crumb horn for musical accompaniment?"
Lobsang shrugged. "Well, no. That's just how things are." Lutsay almost smiled.
"Very flexible things, human minds," he said. "It's amazing what they can stretch to fit. We did a fine job there."
"Lutsay?"
One of the lesser acolytes was waiting respectfully.
"The abbot will see you now," he said.
"All right," said the sweeper.
He nudged Lobsang and whispered,
"We're going to Ankh-Morpork, lad."
"What? But you said you wanted to be sent to..."
Lutsay winked. "'Cos it is written, them as asks don't get, see? There's more than one way of choking a dang-dang than stuffing it with pling, lad."
"Is there?"
"Oh, yes. If you've got enough pling. Now, let's see the abbot, shall we? It'll be time for his feed now. Solids, thank goodness. At least he's done with a wet nurse. It was so embarrassing for him and the young lady. Honestly, you didn't know where to put your face, and neither did he. I mean, mentally, he's 900 years old."
"That must make him very wise."
Pretty wise, pretty wise. But age and wisdom don't necessarily go together, I've always found," said Lutsay, as they approached the abbot's rooms. "Some people just become stupid with more authority. Not his reverence, of course."
The abbot was in his high chair and had recently flicked a spoonful of nourishing pap all over the chief acolyte, who was smiling, like a man whose job depended on looking happy that parsnip and gooseberry custard was dribbling down his forehead. It occurred to Lobsang, not for the first time, that the abbot was a little bit more than purely random in his attacks on the man. The acolyte was, indeed, the kind of mildly objectionable person who engendered an irresistible urge in any right-thinking person to pour goo into his hair and hit him with rubber yak, and the abbot was old enough to listen to his inner child.
"You sent for me, your reverence," said Lutsay, bowing.
The abbot upturned his bowl down the chief acolyte's robe.
Yes, Lutsay, how old are you now?" 800, your reverence, but that's no age at all. Nevertheless, you have spent a lot of time in the world. I understood you were looking to retire and cultivate your gardens." "Yes, but..."
"But," the abbot smiled angelically,
"like an old warhorse, you say, ha-ha, at the sound of trumpets, yes?"
"I don't think so," said Lutsay.
"There's nothing funny about trumpets, really. I meant that you long to be out in the field again. But you have been helping to train world operatives for many years, haven't you? These gentlemen?"
A number of burly and muscular monks were sitting on one side of the room. They were kitted out for travel, with rolled sleeping mats on their backs and dressed in loose black clothing. They nodded sheepishly at Lutsay, and their eyes above their half-masks looked embarrassed.
"I did my best," said Lutsay. "Of course, others trained them. I just tried to undo the damage. I never taught them to be ninjas," he nudged Lobsang. "That apprentice is Agatean for the passing wind," he said in a stage whisper. "I am proposing to send them out immediately." "Rah!"
The abbot hit his high chair with his spoon.
"That is my order, Lutsay. You are a legend, but you have been a legend for a long time. Why not trust in the future?"
"Bicket!"
"I see," said Lutsay sadly. "Oh, well, it had to happen sometime. Thank you for your consideration, your reverence."